literally, when God began around probably 7-8 years ago, stirring my heart, he was speaking directly to me that I'm not just calling you to the ministry, I'm calling you to be a lead pastor, which at the time, I'd built a business career, a corporate career at ServiceMaster, and had been there for about 10 years or so. I was at the, you know, at a peak in my career. I was growing in my career. I was moving up the ladder. It was very, very good. In that experience, I can tell you, it was the most humbling experience because I knew that he was calling me to make the change. I just didn't know the when, the where, the how.
Hey, we're back for another week of Pastors Forum. Glad to have you along. I'm Byron Tyler. Hope you're having a great week and the day of worship for you has been good. Maybe you don't get to go to church on Sunday. Maybe because of your schedule, your church has a Saturday night meeting or a Friday night meeting. You know, it doesn't really matter exactly what the day is. It's the fact that the body of Christ is getting together and worshiping our Savior, encouraging each other, looking how they can do community together and serve the better part of the kingdom of Christ. And so we're glad that we can present pastors each week and let them share their heart with you. Last week, I was excited to get together with Jonathan Dunn, pastor of River City Church, meets in the Bartlett area. Jonathan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Had a great time visiting with you, learning more about the ministry. And we didn't get in too much of the nuts and bolts on how this all came together. We knew you started out as a house church, 12 people that got together in home. You grew up in a pastor's home yourself, so you knew the grind of ministry, what your father had dealt with.
Yep.
Being the oldest of five boys.
That's right.
Was there always harmony in the Dunn home, or is there some times that you guys had a little conflict?
Usually anything but that.
What was it like being the oldest of four younger brothers?
It was fun. We really did have a lot of fun. I'm actually a father of five as well, but I have a girl in there, thank goodness. And so I'm even seeing it now a little bit from my dad and my mom's perspective, but it was a lot of fun.
What are some of your favorite memories of growing up at home and being with the family?
Vacations, going to the beach with my family and us going out in the ocean with my dad, five boys doing that. That was a lot of fun. Also, just going to my grandparents and specifically my mom's parents, we would go down there and celebrate a lot. You know, the Christmas in Florida, we would celebrate Christmas down there and enjoy that. So I would say it's just the family get-togethers.
Yeah. Something about celebrating Christmas in a climate that's not cold down in Florida.
Yeah.
My aunt and uncle used to live in New Orleans, and so we would jump on a bus, a Continental or a Greyhound. Sometimes we would take that and visit her brother for Christmas. I remember the temperature one Christmas was close to 100 degrees, you know, but as a kid, you don't care. You got your toys and you're out there playing.
Good
you
to
know?
Go.
Good
That's
to
right.
go. We know when I was a missionary with our family, we lived on the island of Guam. Tropical, about 800 miles from the equator, so it could get quite warm year-round. You know, the water temperature is like 81 degrees.
Yeah.
So all of our church family and friends, we would gather at the beach after we had our family time and just have a picnic and just enjoy Christmas Day. Nothing like it.
That's awesome. Absolutely.
I think that's important, too. As you mentioned, your dad took time to protect the family time and to make sure you take those vacations and have that quality time, because it can get quite tense at times being a pastor.
It can. And from what I found, again, with just leading a church and being a church planter, if you don't take time and you schedule vacations or time off, it can be eaten up very quickly. What I don't want is for my children to resent the church. I do not want my kids growing up to not enjoy church personally when they experience it, but outside of that, feeling that as if the church pulled at me all the time or pulled us away from them.
Yeah.
Because again, going back to the grind of ministry conversation, there were times we felt that in our home.
Yep.
Is that my dad, it was just the demands of ministry. I'm not bitter, thankfully. I still love Jesus very much. I love the church. I'm all for the local church. But I think as pastors and as fathers and as husbands, we have to really lead well in that area.
I'm glad you said that. As husbands and fathers, even those who are not in the ministry, you still have a responsibility to protect your family. Of course, my kids are grown now, and it's not as important that I be home at a certain time. Sometimes I might be later now because I don't really have a lot of responsibility when I get home. My wife wants to see me, you know.
Sure.
And I want to see her, too. Don't get me wrong. But when you are in business, obviously trying to provide for your family, there's times you have to work long hours and you might have to work some overtime. But you got to make time and be there for those kids.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the statements I heard from Ray Ortland lately that really has stuck with me, he said, as a father looking back raising his boys, and they're older now, he said, as he wished he would have enjoyed them more. And that's really stuck with me personally, is making sure I keep it in my head, my heart, I need to enjoy these kids while they're at home.
And last time you told me originally you had no vision or thought about being a pastor. You helped support your dad in the ministry and encouraged him. But you personally were looking maybe for a business career?
When I became a believer, actually at the age of 20, raised as a preacher's kid, my life was changed. And I knew then, Byron, that God had called me, whatever that meant. I never saw myself as being a lead pastor, a senior pastor in my background. I saw myself as more so supporting lead pastors. Yeah. So I was there more so to be the guy that would help my dad and other men like that. Those are the guys I saw as being pastors succeed. But literally, when God began around probably 7-8 years ago, stirring my heart, he was speaking directly to me that I'm not just calling you to the ministry, I'm calling you to be a lead pastor, which at the time, I'd built a business career, a corporate career at ServiceMaster, and had been there for about 10 years or so. I was at the, you know, at a peak in my career. I was growing in my career. I was moving up the ladder. It was very, very good. In that experience, I can tell you it was the most humbling experience because I knew that he was calling me to make the change. I just didn't know the when, the where, the how.
Yeah.
And so that's how God got my attention.
As you were thinking about possibly being not a lead role, but being a supportive role in the ministry of however God wanted to use you. Of course, God put you in that lead role. But let's talk for a second about the importance of the team. A team around the pastor. Got to imagine that it's so important that you have the right people working together. And even having, if you want to call it an associate or another staff member who's not the lead, their position can be very critical.
There is no doubt, specifically at River City Church and any church I've ever been around, what makes a church great, fantastic, outside just the people who attend and serve and all those things, is having a team that absolutely loves Jesus and that they care for one another and want to help each other succeed. Where I've seen this go wrong is if a lead pastor, and this is a struggle for pastors, is to die to self, to not make it about yourself, to not try to build something for yourself, but to see it as a team that God has put together with other men and women around you that are gifted differently than you, that compliment you, you compliment them. And instead of trying to be the lead guy, you're just more of like the point leader trying to pull it together and for us as a team to go out and do what God is leading us to do.
Unfortunately, you see some pastors and maybe other staff members who are building a resume, and they're just looking for the next step to move into maybe more income, a better place in the country to live, maybe by the ocean, or, you know, I'm not trying to indict all. It's not the case here, but I think you've got to safeguard against that and know that those are that are working with you on the team, that's not their agenda.
And Byron, I'll just speak into this quickly, because coming from the business sector and where I was personally to where I went in starting a church, I look at this and my passion is that guys that are in that place of looking as church opportunities as springboards, they really need to kind of back up and pray through, what are they doing? To me, this is something you're called to do. This is something you sacrifice to do. This is not about a career. This is not about advancement. This is not about about money, in my opinion. At River City Church, we want people that come to join our team that say, I don't care if I'm leaving my six-figure salary in business, I'm coming to be a part of what God's doing in this city because I can't do anything else. That's the people you need leading churches and on teams to reach our culture today.
That's a good word, Jonathan. Okay, let's talk about your wife. What's her name? How did you meet her?
Yep, Melissa is her name. We actually met at church years ago. My mom and her mom were best friends.
Was this
mom,
an arranged marriage?
It was not. It was close. It kind of got that way, really. My mom and dad actually were very close to their family, and I saw her on one Easter morning. And I saw her at church, and quite honestly, at the time, I was not a believer. God used her as I pursued her to draw me to him, and he broke me down. I had tons of respect for her. She loved Jesus. She was one of those girls that everybody knew loved Jesus. She was beautiful inside and out, and so God used her in an unbelievable way to truly take me to a camp and for me to become a believer myself.
Now, how did she safeguard? I guess she knew that you had interest in her. Some Christian girls in that situation could fall into a trap and maybe get into some temptation or situations that wouldn't be right. How did she safeguard herself during that time?
Character. I mean, she just is who she is and always has been. Yeah. What she did is the impact she had on me was she drew me more towards God and had more of an effect on me than I had on her. And so I got into an experience in God's study with Dean Fulks, who used to live here in Memphis. Dean had a profound impact on my life, and his wife, Angie, had a profound impact on Melissa's. And just through the college stage, God rescued me. He saved me, then brought us together. We've been married this year, in August, it'll be 19 years.
My.
And honestly, Byron, one other thing I would say, too, is what's been amazing for us is through the church planting experience, our marriage has gotten stronger.
Has it really?
It really has. We're stronger and closer today than we've ever been.
Because that can really give some unique stresses, you know, in a relationship, I would think, and even in life in general, trying to start a church.
Absolutely. I married an amazing woman. There is no doubt about it. I could not lead River City Church or be anything that I am without her.
You were one of five, and Melissa, what's her word?
She's the oldest of three girls.
Oldest of three. Okay. How about that?
That's right.
So you talked about her character. Looks don't hurt either, you know?
Sure, yeah.
You don't have to sacrifice, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
And it's neat when God provides the whole package. Of course, beauty is the eye of the beholder. We'll say that too. But seriously, the fact that you talk about the character, that's what drew you. And not only in a relationship with a girl, but if Jesus' character is really shining in our life and that we're really devoted, it's attractive. And I'm talking about to other people who are caught up in the mess of life, you know?
Yep.
And not just that. I mean, we have to obviously speak the word too, you know? But we need to have that consistent life. But it says a lot when the character shows the example of Jesus.
And I was coming to the end of myself in that season that what drew me to Jesus was seeing this character in this girl.
Okay, when does the service times meet at River City Church?
We meet every Sunday morning, 9:30 and 11 a.m., two services. We're located at Kirby Whitten and St. Elmo in Bartlett at that intersection. We have a lot of fun.
You've talked a lot about community groups over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You have this central location to meet, but how do the community groups meet? In people's homes, or does everything happen there at the church?
They do. Every community group meets in homes. We have around 200-plus adults meeting in homes throughout Bartlett, Arlington, Lakeland area, and all around. That's how we get together.
What about a new person that comes in? I mean, they're going to probably maybe feel uncomfortable. They're not going to know some of these people and trying to figure out how they're going to fit in, you know, without feeling like everybody else is being a click. How do you get around that?
That's one of the great things about our church is that, again, we really focus on the guest. We have the guest in mind every week. We try our darndest to say we want our guest to get our best and to feel like that we're here for them, that the church does not exist for us. It exists for the community. And so as folks come in, we try to love on them and, of course, give them the next steps and make it clear, hey, if you're interested, you want to kick the tires a little bit, maybe get involved, here's how you would do so.
What about youth and kids outreach through the ministry?
Yeah, our students meet on Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 8:30 each Wednesday night, middle school and high school together. We call it All Access. And Eddie Davis directs all of our family ministries. He works specifically with the students, and they have a great time. And middle school students on Sunday mornings have their time of hanging out called Transit during the service. So while parents are in there worshiping, the students, the middle school students have their own environment for them as well.
Jonathan, what do you like best about being the pastor of River City Church?
Honestly, I've told people over the years, River City Church has not turned out the way I thought it would, but it's turned out better. And it's just been the life change. It's been the community. It's the people. It's amazing to see that people come together and serve and financially sacrifice and love and invest in people because of something God has done in them. It's mind-boggling, yeah, to be honest. It's just, for me, it's surreal.
And that's so exciting for you to say that it's actually better than what you imagined what it is. And that's just God at work.
It is.
When we give it to him and to see what he's done through the ministry. Okay, we talked about service times on Sunday, the youth meetings on Wednesday. Any particular bent when it comes to serving the community or trying to reach out?
We do a lot of things. We partner with other organizations in the city of Memphis, such as Porter Leaf House and others. And we've also started another nonprofit called End the Thirst, to where we have partnered with Water 4, and we are drilling wells in areas of the world, providing clean drinking water and freeing people from slavery. Currently, the focus is in the Congo. So what we do is that people from outside River City Church give to this organization, but we as a church also fund this organization. And quite honestly, we would love other churches and pastors to partner with us.
And how can folks find out more information about doing that?
Contact us at rivercitymemphis.org. We can get them all the information that they would need.
Jonathan Dunn, thank you so much for these past 2 weeks, brother. I've really enjoyed it. I mean, this has been great. This is beyond my expectations, and I hope you've enjoyed it too.
Absolutely. I loved it, and thank you for having me out.
Well, friends, we're going to have to say goodbye on that. Thanks so much for joining us on these past 2 weeks with Jonathan Dunn, the pastor of River City Church in the Bartlett area. Please find out more by going to rivercitymemphis.org, rivercitymemphis.org. I'm Byron Tyler. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.